This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and we begin here in Washington, of course, with two major stories. First of all, Republicans and Democrats gearing up for Thursday's summit on health care to be convened at the Blair House across Pennsylvania Avenue from the White House. But even before the supposedly bipartisan session, the partisan barbs are flying in both directions. Republicans livid that the White House already released the president's final version of a health care reform package before this supposed forum designed to air different ideas and come together in a bipartisan fashion on a comprehensive bill. Virginia Congressman Eric Cantor is the number two House Republican. He says the Republicans and Democrats in a lot of ways want the same thing, but he says the president's bill goes about achieving those things in a very bad way.
This bill does not have the votes in the House. What we're saying is there is plenty of room for agreement when you were talking about health care. Republicans care about improving health care for families and lowering costs. We believe there is a sustainable way to do that, but the way is not in the bill that the president is pushing, which is essentially the same repackaged Senate bill.
Jim Clyburn of South Carolina is the number three House Democrat. He says the vote counting will come a little bit later. He says right now they probably don't have enough votes in the House of Representatives to pass this thing, but he says in the end they will.
We don't have the votes for a proposal. I think we will have the votes for a good bill, and we're not there yet. So Mr. Cantor really ought to get serious about having a discussion about what it is that they will do.
Clyburn says it's important for the two parties to come together and have an honest and frank discussion on Thursday at the Blair House. He says the president has put forward what he considers some very good proposals, and they're worth discussing.
These are good, solid proposals coming from the president, asking us as members of Congress to offer our suggestions, and then we'll see whether or not the votes are there.
But those are not good proposals that the president put out on Monday, according to Texas Republican Congressman Joe Barton. He says it's pretty clear that the president picked what he considers the worst of both the House and Senate bills and stuck them together.
You know, he's got a lot of taxes, which we don't like. There's so much that his is just kind of a half and half, the worst, of, as the Wall Street Journal says, the worst of both the House and the Senate bills.
Barton says he does like the attention the president is giving to certain ideas, including making sure that patients are covered even if they have pre-existing conditions. The difference, says Barton, is that the Republicans have a much different and much more patient-friendly approach to making sure folks get that coverage.
We think you ought to cover pre-existing conditions, but we do it through a market mechanism where people go to their insurance companies, and then the insurance companies offset the risk through these high-risk pools, but everybody would get covered. It wouldn't cost an arm and a leg like the president's proposal.
All right, let's talk tactics now. And the big word that's been thrown around for weeks, but especially in the last few days, reconciliation. Democrats openly planning to use that move that would bypass the Republican opportunity to filibuster this final version of reform. Just a number of weeks ago, namely right after Scott Brown won the Massachusetts Senate election to replace Ted Kennedy, many Democrats, especially the moderate ones, were saying that reconciliation is the wrong way to go, that they need to find common ground with Republicans. Well, now that common ground doesn't appear to be anywhere close to being found, some of those very same members are warming up to the idea of putting this through simply on a party line vote that will not require a supermajority. Evan Bayh, who recently announced he was not seeking re-election, just a few weeks ago called the use of reconciliation to pass a sweeping health care reform bill, quote, very ill-advised. Now he says Republicans would probably shut the place down, and you could argue that they're doing that anyway. Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson, who had his Cornhusker kickback taken away by the president, says he doesn't prefer reconciliation, but he says it may be the only way. Telling the Politico, quote, I'd like to see as many votes as possible, but at the end of the day, with the obstructionism going on at the level that it is, I'm more interested in what's in the package than I am in the process of how many votes it takes to get it through. At least a couple of Democrats are using cautious language here. Kent Conrad is the chairman of the Senate Budget Committee. He says, quote, reconciliation was never intended for substantive legislation, policy legislation. He says there are all kinds of hurdles to writing major legislation through reconciliation. Wisconsin Democrat Russ Feingold essentially echoes that sentiment, saying he's open to using reconciliation in an effort to cut the deficit, but not so much in wide-ranging policy measures. Others who have spoken out against reconciliation but are now warming up to it include Claire McCaskill of Missouri, and Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, meaning that if, in fact, Democrats decide to go down that route, they've got the votes, meaning the real drama will be for House Democrats to cobble together the 218 votes they need to get this done. But Republican Tennessee Senator Lamar Alexander says it would be wise for Democrats to pause and think about this for a minute, telling Politico, quote, this would be the ultimate trick to get votes. The reason for the American people rejecting the health care bill so far is because of the tricks. If Democrats try to jam the bill through this strange process to get votes, then they will be guaranteeing themselves a political kamikaze mission in November, unquote. A little bit of bipartisanship today in the Senate, however, a 70-28 passage of a $15 billion jobs bill. On Monday night, it was five Republicans who crossed over in order to give Democrats the ability to move this to a final vote. And in the end, obviously, they got several more Republican votes, eight more, in fact, than they did just a couple of days ago to cut off debate. The $15 billion initiative included a range of tax credits, which were important to Maine Republicans, Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins. Highway funds were key in attracting the votes of Midwestern Republicans Kit Bond of Missouri and George Voinovich of Ohio, both of whom are retiring at the end of this legislative year. But nothing has officially been accomplished yet because this $15 billion package has to be reconciled to a $154 billion House jobs bill passed late last year. The other big drama up on Capitol Hill today, the testimony before the House Government Oversight Committee by the executives of Toyota, including their chairman as well as their head of North American operations. The chairman of the company, also named Toyota, began with an apology to all those affected by the defects in the accelerator as well as the braking system in Toyota vehicles. And he offered special condolences to those who lost loved ones as a result of those defects.
I am deeply sorry for any accident that Toyota drivers have experienced. Especially, I would like to extend my condolences to the members of the Saylor family for the accident in San Diego. I would like to send my prayers again, and I will do everything in my power to ensure that such a tragedy never happens again.
Chairman Toyota also says everyone in Congress and throughout the United States can be assured that quality and safety is job one at his company. He says it's extremely important to him since his name is on every vehicle produced.
I have personally placed the highest priority on improving quality over quantity. And I have shared that direction with our stakeholders. As you well know, I am the grandson of the founder, and all the Toyota vehicles bear my name. For me, when the cars are damaged, it is as though I am as well.
Chairman Akio Toyoda also says that a new brake override system is being put in place in Toyota vehicles. He also says they are going to streamline and speed up the recall process so there wouldn't be such a delay if there are defective components to the vehicles in the future. And he says all members of Toyota's management team are driving them too, so they will know what sort of problems may exist.
Even more importantly, I will ensure that members of the management team actually drive the cars and that they check for themselves where the problem lies as well as its severity.
On the interview front today, two interviews related to the ongoing health care debate. First of all, my conversation with Arizona Congressman John Shattuck, who points out that even though the Cornhusker kickback is no longer part of the president's health care agenda, there are many, many special giveaways to certain members of the U.S. Senate. We'll go through many of them. That's found at dateline.radioamerica.org and worldnetdaily.com. You can also hear my conversation with Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert, who explains in his opinion why he thinks this is just a performance and a choreographed event at the Blair House on this supposed bipartisan summit. He says the president already cast his lot with this package that he introduced on Monday. He also explains why he believes if the president's plan goes through, it'll be extremely harmful for America's small businesses. Also, you can hear my interview with Kendra Rotunda, former member of the prosecution team for the U.S. Army at Guantanamo Bay. She will explain why the Obama administration is wrong to say that it's been vindicated by the guilty plea of terrorism suspect Najibul Azazi. Attorney General Eric Holder has said that vindicates the president's approach to using civilian courts to try terrorism suspects. Ms. Rotunda says that's not the case at all, and she also explains how the Obama administration improperly interfered with the military tribunal of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and others down at Guantanamo Bay last year. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.